Welcome to Awakening with Brahma Kumaris. In the previous episode or session, we spoke very clearly about how when the mind learns to meditate or the soul learns to meditate, the mind wanders around from negative thoughts to positive thoughts to waste thoughts, and how very quickly and gently we can harness these thoughts and go back into positive thinking. Today, we dive deeper. We begin to actually understand that we are faced with many choices. The choices that I make really becomes my responsibility. I may want to go left and then decide to turn right, but how do I know if that's the right choice I am making? Perhaps Sister Jayanti will clarify how meditation can help us make clear decisions. Once again, we have here in our studio Sister Jayanti, the director, the European director of the Brahma Kumaris. Welcome, Sister Jayanti.
Hello. I'm happy to be with you, and especially this subject is one that's very close to my heart, because it was this subject that brought me to the path of meditation. Because in my teens, I found that there were many different choices that I had in terms of the life I was going to have for the future. One was a traditional path of India, the East.
So you came from an Eastern background, obviously, yes, but you studied in the West.
Correct.
So the conflicting culture or the assimilation of culture created choices for you.
So there was the traditional Eastern path.
Yes.
And I was being shown that by my parents. And then there was a traditional Western path, which I was seeing all around me in the West. Mm-hmm. But in the 60s, a third path had opened up, which didn't exist before. And that was the permissive lifestyle. And of course, my friends and my peers were all going down that way.
Yeah, the swinging 60s and the 70s. So you were a Beatle babe.
I was part of that generation, correct. So music and fashion, these were the things
flower
that mattered.
People.
Correct. And so those were the things that were most important. And I thought I could postpone the decision of which direction I wanted my life to go in for 20 years, 30 years, when I was old and grey, then I'd decide. But it wasn't possible. I kept having to make decisions here, now, and I couldn't postpone it. And I was fortunate, because I decided that I would leave university. I was just in my first term at university, and I would come and spend a sabbatical here in India, because my father suggested that I should come back to my roots, which was India. And that was great, because the atmosphere here was one of spirituality. Today, that's also changed here. But at that time, in the 60s, it was still quite a spiritual place to be in. And I was very fortunate that I was in contact with the Brahma Kumaris through my mother and grandmother.
How old were you at that time?
I was 19. And because I knew the Brahma Kumaris, when these questions were surfacing in my mind, where to go, what to do, how to do, I went to Dadi Janki, and she is now the head of the Brahma Kumaris. But at that time, she was running a center in India. I went to her, and I didn't say anything. She thought I'd just come to say hello, as I usually did when I visited India. But she started to talk to me about conscience, and a yogi is able to feel from you what it is you need to hear. And so when she started talking about conscience, she said to me that there's many layers of influence. Your friends, your peers, your education, the media, society. All of these things have created layers and layers, so that then you're not able to see clearly where it is you want to go and what it is you want to do. And all of this without my saying anything to her. And my question to her was, well, how do you get away from all these layers and come back to what it is that you really should be doing at this moment? And her answer was meditation. And that's
sometimes
how I started.
Sister Jayanti, people feel that, like you, you had no sense of direction at that time because you were covered with these layers. Would you say it was your calling, purely by chance?
I believe that nothing happens by chance. The stars that move in the universe, every cell that functions in the body, there's nothing, actually nothing, that happens by chance. So I think it was the right moment within my destiny that I should find myself in front of her, to go knocking on her door and find that she was there and she was available to talk to me. Well, it couldn't have been chance. It had to happen. It was destiny.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a saying that when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And so I think I was ready. And although I'd known her many years, but at that moment, I saw her as somebody who had a few things she could teach me. And so she told me, meditation is the way in which you can uncover all these layers and listen to the very quiet voice that's speaking to you inside.
We know this voice. We hear it. Why do we suppress it?
Because we're too busy listening to the very loud voice of our mind. At some point we've talked about how the mind creates thoughts and feelings, and they come from something which is laying under the surface, and that is the sum total of the experiences we've had and we've carried within ourselves. And so I carry those imprints, and then from the stimulus outside, those thoughts come up and they lead us to action. And in between, the powerful sound of the thoughts and the rush of thoughts and the action comes that very quiet, very silent voice of my conscience. And because we're so busy and engaged in listening to the mind and thinking, well, that's the most important, what I think is the most important thing, you know, sheer ego, but that's where it stems from. And so at that time, I'm listening to all these noisy sounds, and I'm so used to moving quickly. It's a very busy world we live in, and we appreciate speed. You know, the faster the car, the faster the computer, the faster any machine.
Instant coffee.
Instant. So all of that is appreciated a lot more than that which is quiet and soft and slow. And we put a very high value of money, of price, on the things that are fast.
So here we are, Sister Jayanti. We are at this present moment. Yes, we hear our the thoughts louder in our own heads, and we are living in an age of speed. But speed is good; it gets many things done in a short time.
But the problem is that when we allow our thoughts to speed up to the extent where we don't give ourselves the opportunity to pause and ask the question, should I or should I not, then the negative thoughts that are generally what's going on come through into action. And those imprints that I spoke about earlier, those negative imprints are reinforced. And so the whole purpose of meditation is to be able to see that if I have a negative thought, let me, at that moment, just pause and check it out, and then ask myself the question, should I not? Inbuilt within the mechanism of the spirit, of the soul, Atma, is what is called the intellect, the conscience, not the intellect of intellectual.
But so this intellect is a faculty of the soul?
Yes.
It's part of the mechanism of a soul?
Yeah. And the purpose of this is to be the filter between my thoughts and my actions. So many thoughts come, and the filter will decide what is it that I should or should not do, and then the good things will come through into action, and things that are not quite right won't be permitted to come through.
And this mechanism is called?
The conscience, the intellect, the buddhi. We can use different terms. But the buddhi, the conscience has become dysfunctional. It
Why?
Doesn't work anymore. If you have a friend, and in good faith the friend tells you, you know, you shouldn't be doing this, it's no good for you, and you ignore that friend once, second time round they'll be cautious. Should I tell her or should I not? And maybe they're brave enough to still come and tell you. Second time round, you ignore them. Third time they'll say, I don't think I should say anything to her, she's not going to listen. And so my conscience tried to speak to me once and twice and maybe many times, but I kept ignoring the voice of my conscience, and I kept doing it. And at that point then, the conscience became completely silent and doesn't speak to us very clearly anymore. And so the negativity has been increasing for this reason. The filter has become dysfunctional. It's not working at all.
So if the filter is dysfunctional, the filter is not clean, and yet I have the ability to make it quiet, not listen to it, suppress it for some reason, and I do an action which I am not supposed to do, but at that moment I feel this is the right action to do, not to tell her. But if I feel guilty afterwards?
This is an indication that the spirit is still alive. It's good. In the sense that there are some people where there's continuous wrongdoing and yet there's total denial. And there isn't even the comprehension that this is something that has caused pain to another. This is something which has been wrong. And so they're even further down the line. And so we're even in a state where today people will say that which is wrong is right. They'll try and prove that to you.
Yes.
You know, there's one state where we agree this is right, and all of us together, out of our hearts, will follow that which is right. There's another state where we say, well, I know this is right, but I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I can't do anything about it. But then there's another condition, which is today's condition, where there's a denial. And they'll say, but so what? Whatever I do is fine. There is no right or wrong. From morality, you move to immorality, and you move to amorality. Mm. And so today, whatever you do is fine. It doesn't matter. But in fact, there are things that are right. There are things that are not right.
And how do we know this?
By coming back to the understanding that I am not matter. I am the being within, the being of light. In the state of matter, materialistic consciousness, it doesn't matter how much money I accumulate, at whatever expense, whether it's at the cost of somebody else, whether it's causing pain to others around me. The state of injustice of the world is exactly that. A very materialistic, a very consumer vision in which there's huge levels of inequality and injustice everywhere. If I want to come back to a state in which I am doing that which is right, I need to give myself silence. I need to come back to the belief that I am not matter, I am spirit.
So this is the method by which my filter, my conscience will be clear?
Yeah.
Just that I am a soul?
Mm-hmm. In the awareness of the body,
yes.
In that belief system, my intellect will not be able to discern what is right and what is wrong, which is the condition today. I change that belief system and I come to the understanding that I am a soul, and whatever I do has an impact inside and outside, and that is the cause of happiness or of pain. The understanding of the soul as the spirit gives me this understanding of my responsibility. I can create my happiness or I can cause my own pain. And so yes, coming back to the awareness, I am spirit, awakens the conscience. It ignites the spark and brings back life to the soul. And then a thought comes and I'll say, should I not? So I need to give myself space. I need to change my belief system. I need to have that knowledge. I need to have that understanding. And thirdly, I need to practice this.
There is a saying, to err is human.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we start cleaning this filter through the process of meditation with this change of belief system that I am not matter, I am a soul, I use moments of silence, I'm prone to mistakes.
That's sure.
And my conscience will bite. And it's a way journey back again for me to become good, to do the right thing again.
Well, at least at this point, now that I've begun on that journey, my conscience is speaking to me.
And I'm hearing it.
And when my conscience is biting me, that's actually a sign that it's come back to life. Because otherwise, it's a state in which it wasn't even speaking to me anymore. And okay, I've made a mistake. I don't need to be trapped by it forever. I don't need to be burdened by guilt forever, because that's also a waste of time and energy. In silence, I recognize I've made a mistake. I also recognize that it was the atmosphere, it was the influence, it was my weakness, it was my habitual pattern. Maybe all of this, maybe one of this. But I understand what it is that led to that mistake. And with that realization, I say, okay, if it was the atmosphere, the vibrations of others, can I do something to protect myself from that?
Before, I like what you said about realization. Yes, now you have the time, because as the filter is being cleansed, your realization is sharper. You are clearer. You understand this is how you need to reform, because you can see the path with which to reform. But there is something in between. By the time you realize and you want to change and reform or transform that mistake that you did, you are in a state of repentance or regret, and that's draining your whole energy. I know people that are forever in repentance for an event that happened 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and they really haven't been able to come out of this repentance. So regret or repentance is so deep.
This is why, if I truly understand that the natural state of the soul is of truth, of goodness and love, and I take the time to come to that experience of who I am eternally, there is that truth within me, there is that purity and love within me. Let me spend time emerging that experience, and let me realize, but also let me love myself.
So once I realize and I understand this is the next path I have to take, instead of self-condemnation, you go back to your innate quality of yourself as a soul, as a loveful, peaceful being. You go back to that point of who you really are, and then you're able to take the next step to reformation or change.
Correct. You see, what happens is, if with that understanding of who I am, you look back yesterday, 10 years ago, whenever it was, and you ask yourself, but why did I make that mistake?
Yeah.
You probably find that it was because of what I would describe as limited consciousness. I thought of myself as this. My identity of this is what was trapping me. And so because of that trap, I made that mistake. And so part of my process of realization is that I want to be attentive. I don't want to repeat that mistake by slipping back into unconsciousness. I want to maintain that awareness, that consciousness of who I truly am. And when I do this, even though the thoughts will come, thoughts won't finish instantly.
They won't end, yes.
They'll come. I'll still want that jewelry, I'll still want this thing or that thing. But pause and I'll talk to myself, do I really need another pair of shoes? Do I truly need another pair of earrings or whatever, whatever? And of course, my conscience will tell me enough is enough. And I'll be able to stop that thought and not let it through into action. Somebody else telling me stop, and I'll say nonsense, why not? But my own conscience telling me it's not going to bring me more happiness. And so let me stop there. And I'll have begun the process of changing my patterns of behavior. If I say stop once, I can do it next time. I can do it next time.
At this point, Sister Jayanti, I would like you to take us into that journey of understanding and realizing the conscience.
Now, I know that I'm not the body. I know I am the inner being, the soul. I just look at what's going on inside. I see the recent imprints, a little bit of good, and things that are not so good. I look at my thoughts, and I see the same. Good and not so good. But I go deeper than the surface. I go deep, leaving those thoughts behind, leaving that mixture outside, and I go deeper within myself. And I connect with that pure being that I am. And my conscience tells me that this is the state I have to maintain. This awareness of my original state of purity, in which I can love myself, my original state of truth, in which I can have respect for myself, my conscience tells me, this is who I am, and this is what I must maintain in my awareness. And as I feel this and experience it and hold it, I know that this is the reality, the eternal reality of the soul. I come back into the physical consciousness of the body and the things I have to do here. But now, my conscience is awake, alert, and attentive. And I know what is reality. And I hold this truth in my awareness, so that I can listen to my conscience and not be overwhelmed by thoughts or the things of the world outside. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti, Sister Jayanti. That was a very deep aspect that we learned today. It is indeed really very beautiful when we understand one amazing aspect about the soul, a mechanism that it has known as the conscience. We hear this word so loosely, my guilty conscience, my heavy conscience. But now we now know how to revert back. The other understanding about this lesson today is the conscience is a filter. As all thousands of thoughts come into your mind, the soul in its moment of silence and reflection recognizes these thoughts, does not become afraid of it, and is able to filter. How do we change to knowing what is right and what is true, and how to move from one decision to another decision in an accurate way? Stay silent, realize yourself that you are a soul. Believe in your own innate goodness that you are a pure and peaceful loving souls. Thoughts will come, but don't let them bother you. Stay in that understanding and belief and realization, and very gently your conscience will begin to clear and your path of change will become a reality. Sounds easy, but a lot of practice, and it becomes easier as we go lesson from lesson. Thank you, Sister Jayanti.
Thank you.